This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. Experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All righty, moving along today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. After Jeremy and Joe talked a lot about, I think, what we have to keep talking about today, which is this James Cook story and where everything is heading here, where it is now. Not really sure. I mean, this is kind of new territory for us, right? I thought about this today. Like I've said for a long time, and now we've lived in this age of social media for quite a few years where, and you know me, I've said this many times, and it is very true what I believe, that we need to, and I try to, and I think in general, not take social media behavior as, you know, something really super serious and try to read into it too much. But when you actually have a statement put out, like Myles Garrett, I want to be traded, obviously that's a statement, or like James Cook put out the other day, 15 mil and pinned it, I think it's pretty clear. But other actions on social media, I think we tend to read a little too much into things sometimes. You could be laying around one night, throw on Instagram or X, and an athlete tweets something like, I thought you loved me, right? Let's just say that. I thought you loved me. And all of a sudden, oh my God, he's talking about the organization. Well, how do you know? It could be about like somebody in their family or their friend long time ago. I don't know. It could be a song lyric, right? We got to be careful about doing this stuff. But I do think it's notable and we have to bring it up because this is how athletes communicate these days, especially younger athletes. I mean, James Cook is, I think he's 25. I want to get his exact age here. He's 25. Yep. Turned 25 in September. You know, he's part of this, you know, generation now, and I think we're even years even older than him are, of how this is really their main form of communication in a lot of ways. And it's totally understandable. It's taken adjusting for people like me, which is fine, but I cover him and cover the team and the league and sports in general and all that, and you have to pay attention to this stuff. And I think on the heels of what he put out on his Instagram live story, and then what he did today, which I'm going to get to Josh in a second, he can, or overnight maybe it was, catch us up on this. I think we have to have at least our antennas up, right? But I also think that a lot of this can be just kind of what happens. And we did have one instance like this, I think a couple years ago when this was with Stephon Diggs, but I'll get into that in a second. Generally, it hasn't been with Bills players or, you know, athletes here in Buffalo. Of course, not Sabres necessarily, but we just haven't had it with Bills players. And what I mean is scrubbing of photos, right? Deleting references. What exactly happened here? So, Josh, so this is what James Cook did, right? Fill me in again. I have to rely on you for stuff like this because I don't pay as much attention to that stuff. Maybe I should more sometimes. I just think you can really go down rabbit holes, so I don't as much, and then it catches my attention when I'm told about it. So what exactly happened?
Oh, yeah, you can definitely get down a rabbit hole, and I might have done that here. But last night, someone tweeted out, if you think James Cook ain't worth $15 million, you must have had your head dropped through a you get the picture. Then James Cook retweets that and says, with 4 100 emojis, which basically means, yes, like, this is great. This is right.
Now, so, by the way, and there's no reading into that. He is basically just commenting and saying, you're right about this.
Exactly. Like
that, there's definitely no reading in. So last night, that's right. That's the X behavior. That's the Twitter behavior, which is, hey, he's agreeing and saying 100% I'm worth $15 million. No doubt about that.
Exactly.
Clear as day.
The next thing, though, that happened last night as well, or it looks like it happened last night, he unfollowed the Bills on Instagram and deleted all of his pictures with the Bills and changed his profile picture on Instagram, which used to be him in a Bills uniform. Again, reading way too far into it, but it does make a difference a little bit. It does, you know,
open your eyes a little. On the heels of everything, you of course have to pay attention, right? I would also say this. We have had lots of stories of athletes doing this over the years, right? Of unfollowing, scrubbing, whatever. Sometimes it comes out, and I think this happened with Stephon Diggs. I'm not positive, but this was a thing with Stephon Diggs a couple of years ago, wasn't it? In Buffalo, where, like, all of a sudden he deleted all these, you know, Bills photos, and then someone pointed out, actually, he kind of does this every year where he resets, like, all his photos, and he's into fashion. Like, you just don't know why. But I do think we have to pay attention to it. What does it mean? I'm not sure. I will also tell you, I think it's just sometimes what some people do, just kind of to show, like, doesn't mean he doesn't want to be a Bill. See, this is the danger part of the road that I don't want to go down. And I'm not suggesting, and some of you are out there like, yeah, I didn't think he meant that anyway. But there are definitely people listening right now. There are definitely people paying attention to this social media behavior who are like, oh my God, that means he doesn't want to be in Buffalo. He hates the organization. Him and Brandon Bean had a falling out. They've been discussing a contract and there's no way. And he's been told. Look, all those things are certainly possible, you know, in some realm. I would tell you that slow down, take a breath. These things take time. And a lot of times it's just kind of like what you do now, what some of the athletes do now, some of the players do now, people in these situations. Who did it a few years ago? Didn't Kyler Murray do this? This was like first ones I remember a couple years ago, right?
That one happened like right around all the stuff where it's like, oh, he's playing too much Call of Duty and all that was going on. Like that was a big one that happened, but nothing came of it. So like that's the thing. It's like these things happen, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
No, it doesn't. I don't know. I would tell you this. This is what I think. Let's say what we know. What we know is James Cook's contract has one more year remaining. That's the other thing we have to keep reminding people. He is under contract next year. The Bills do not have to give him a contract extension, do anything with his contract, and they still own his rights for a year. Now, that doesn't mean that things can't get ugly if they don't do anything with it. I'm just here to tell you that what we know is he has 1 year left on a deal that's paying him over $5 million next year, the last year of his rookie deal. What we also know is his brother, Dalvin Cook, tweeted out he thinks his brother's worth $20 million. And then James pinned his own comment, $15 million is what he wrote. And then on the heels of last night, when he goes 100, 100, 100, saying, yep, I agree, I'm worth $15 million. We know that he wants to be paid in whatever shape or form, how much, that kind of money, right? Like whatever we're looking at, however it massages, we know he wants to get paid. What we don't know is what's happening behind the scenes. What we don't know is what his plans are if things don't go the way he wants. What is the way he wants to go, though? Does he need to get something done now? Does he want to? Is that what his representatives are saying? What are the Bills' thoughts on this? There's a lot of things that have to be sorted out. What we also know is there's like 8 months before the season starts, right? There's a month before free agency, which actually is exactly a month. It's a month from yesterday. Free agency starts March 12th, actually. We are within a month from free agency. We have a draft coming up a month and a half after that, end of April. You have, in that time period, you'll have volunteer, you know, workouts where guys show up and do workouts. Then you're going to have OTAs and minicamp. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of little, you know, markings along the way here before we get to anything really substantial where this comes to a head. It could come before that. It doesn't ever have to come out. It doesn't have to come to that. It's something that keeps us going right now in the offseason. We're going to keep talking about this story until either there's some sort of resolution or maybe we'll even get to the NFL scouting combine in 11 days. Brandon Bean speaks in 12 days, the 25th. Brandon Bean's going to speak on Tuesday, the 25th, in Indianapolis at the NFL scouting combine. That could be the day where we hear from Brandon Bean, and it could go one of two ways. He's going to be asked about this, and there could be one of two reactions, I think, which is, you know, extreme of, yeah, I mean, we have no plans on extending him. I don't think he would say that, but I guess there could be things he could say which makes you go, oh, this is going to get ugly, whatever that could be. Or he could say things that make you go, okay, they're going to work this out, whatever it is. I'm sure in some way, shape, or form, he's going to be complimentary, James. He's going to say what he always does, which is we never negotiate contracts through the media. We love James Cook. We'd love to have him here long term. You know, we'll see how things work out. We'll talk with his representatives, just like I will with other guys whose contracts are coming up. Those kinds of things will be said, I'm sure, in some way, shape, or form by Brandon Bean. But we're going to keep talking about this, and that's going to be, like, that's the next benchmark. So if you're kind of keeping a James Cook offseason calendar, what's happening here, and looking for times where things will get talked about, resolved, and dissected, the next thing, really, other than his own behavior, him going on any sort of live podcast, broadcast, Instagram story, whatever it is, or him tweeting out something, other than any of that doing himself, the next thing is going to be Brandon Bean speaking at the Combine, and Sean McDermott, by the way. McDermott's going to speak on Monday the 24th in the late afternoon. Brandon Bean on Tuesday the 25th in the early afternoon. So we'll hear from both of them and what they think. So there's a lot to be resolved here. I am curious what you think about where this is going, though, because this is the first time it's happened contractually. Now, when it was with Stephon Diggs, it wasn't a contract thing, right? I mean, yes, there were some contractual things going on with Stephon Diggs, and they've adjusted his contract. But a couple years ago, when all the stuff started happening after he had been with the Bills for a couple of years, and, you know, Stephon was in Buffalo for, what, 4 years, 20 through 23, and really after year two, I'd say, maybe after year three, I guess, was where it really came to a head, and then he went into year four and played that out. But after year two, stuff started coming out, and it was, okay, does Stephon want to be in Buffalo? Does Buffalo want Stephon Diggs? That's when stuff started to percolate a little bit. That was really more about, I think, personality, you know, what his relationship, Josh Allen, the organization. It wasn't really contractual. That never got to that point. I mean, again, some things with his contract, but it was never anything like that with him. This is contractual. It's kind of the opposite, because I don't think anyone doubts. I know I don't, and I talk to James Cook, like, in the locker room and at practices, after practices, whatever, after the season. James Cook loves being in Buffalo. That's everything that he's given off, everything he said. I don't have any reason to doubt him. He loves being in Buffalo. He wants to be in Buffalo. He loves being a part of the organization. And for the Bills' part, they love James Cook. We know that. They want him to be here. They love him here. Love him as part of the organization. The Stephon Diggs stuff a couple of years ago, that was the question, right? The question was that stuff. Does he want to be a part of us? Do we want him a part of us? Is it better for us to be together than apart, or apart than together, right? That's not the question with James Cook. With Stephon, it was not how much are we paying him. There were some tweaks along the way that never got to there. This is simply contractual, and that's why it's different here, because we haven't had anything like this in Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott's time. They've done a really great job. Brandon Bean, We can go through his draft picks, and you can tell me about his misses, and I can tell you about the other ones that were hits, and we can do all that. One thing that he has done a great job of is never allowing this to happen. Now, part of the reason is because I think fairly you could say he's overpaid for a few guys. And maybe that's why. He overpays to make sure you don't get into an ugly situation where you have to basically say it's one extreme or the other. So he overpays a little bit. Take care of them a little bit early. Get ahead of it. But the reward there is sometimes you overpay at the moment and then you have somebody for a little bit, you know, better of a price a little bit later, which could happen, right? But he never allows that to happen. And he hasn't, I should say, allowed that to happen. Now it is. And this is going back now. Sports fans in general, I think, are like this anyway. I think we're living in a different era now where there's a much, much, much more support for the athlete to get paid. When I was growing up, I mean, it was not like that. There were, you would not find many fans who would side with the athlete when it came to getting paid. It was all about basically shut up, do your job. You're playing a game. You're getting paid $1 million a year, like literally $1 million a year. Think about that for a second, Josh. When Jim Kelly came to Buffalo in 1986, okay, he had played in the USFL for 3 years or 2 years, whatever, 83. When he comes to Buffalo, he's the highest paid player in the league at just over $1 million a year.
Isn't it crazy how much that changes? Like, it's so, the contrast between the best players in the league, in any league, then and now.
Yeah.
It's pennies on the dollar. Like, it's crazy to think that it used to be like that.
Right. So even then, when it's just over $1 million, because perspective, obviously, you know, different time period.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If there was ever an athlete that was, this was Joe Cribbs, I think, for me in the 80s. Joe Cribbs, a great running back, and there's a contractual dispute between the Bills and Joe Cribbs. Ultimately, he wound up going to the USFL. He went to the Birmingham Stallions. Like, that happened. There was a contractual dispute between the Sabres and Michael Pekka. That was a really big one and a costly one. It cost Pekka a year of his career. He did not play an entire year, and it would have helped the Sabres. They wound up actually losing. That was the year they lost in Game 7 on Darius Kasparaitis beating Dominic Hasek in Hasek's last game in Buffalo in Game 7 in overtime. The point is, like, people generally, now some people side with Pekka, I guess, because the way that thing went down, but you generally didn't get a lot of that. It was mostly always, hey, the fans would side with the organizations. It's not the case anymore. So many more people side with the players. Look what's going on in college. You still have your people who say, oh my God, I can't believe it. They're getting free educations. Yes, you have people that say that, but so many more people are like, no, pay these guys. Pay these girls, pay these kids, pay these athletes. They're bringing in so much revenue to their colleges. And you also get, no, you need to pay. Go get your bag, man. Go get it, James Cook. Go get it, Miles Garrett. Go get it, whoever. Like, that's what you get a lot more of. But I still think in Buffalo, from what I'm seeing from a lot of you, it's kind of actually shook me a little bit that we've had some calls. I've had some tweets, some calls over the last like 48 hours of people going like, he doesn't want to be here. Trade him. Draft a running back. I think people are not liking the approach, right? That's what it is. I think if James Cook wants $15 million, that's what he wants, right? Maybe he wants 12 and he's putting it at 15. If James Cook wants $15 million a year, and his approach, though, is, hey, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to go about my business. I'm going to talk with Brandon Bean at the Combine, or my agent is, and we never hear any of that. And then all of a sudden it comes out later that, hey, he wanted that money. I think the reaction is different. Because he's being public about it, I think in a lot of ways, he's hurting himself with the fan base. I'm not saying people don't like James Cook, don't want James Cook. I think this is so new and it's not playing well in Buffalo. And I want to know if that's true from you. It's not just about the money, right? Like, there's two parts to this. It's the money and is he worth it? And do you pay a running back? That's where I'm focused. Like, how do you do this mechanically? How do you build the roster? I like the whole thing about roster building and playing GM. Like, there's two parts to this, I think, now with the James Cook story. The first part, to me, is the more important part. How do you manage this, have this really nice player at a position that you have kind of treated like you don't need to pay that much, but now he comes along and you know how important he is to you. That's a lot of money. By the way, call me up on this, 803-0550. I'd like to hear your thoughts. I have open phone lines. We're going to talk about this and whatever else you want here for the next 40 minutes because I don't have a guest until 11 o'clock. I'll tell you my guests in a second. I got rambling on this, which is great, but also didn't even tell you who my guests are. I'm going to do that in a minute because we got a couple really good guests to talk about other teams and their situations coming up as well. But 803-0550, like the two parts of this are the money aspect, the roster building aspect. But I think I'm reading from some of you and hearing from some of you that like you don't like the approach. And that's also maybe seeping into your thought about what they should do, right? I try not to let that happen because, again, I'm going to go back to what I started with at the very beginning of this. I think you have to understand this is just how a lot of people operate now. This is how a lot of athletes operate now. This is how they communicate. They grew up in a world that a lot of us, me and you, did not grow up in where we didn't communicate through our social media handles. And social media is great to me. I mean, listen, I'm patting myself here and I'm telling you, like, I'm very proud of the brand that I built and the following I built, and I have close to 200,000 followers on X. It's a great way for me to communicate. I am not banging on it whatsoever. It is a great way to communicate. But it's not how I grew up communicating everything, all my thoughts. That is how a lot of people now grew up communicating most of their thoughts. And for right or wrong, whatever you think about that, that's what athletes are doing now. And I think that the approach that James Cook is taking here, I think is hurting himself and his own fan base in a lot of ways. And I could be wrong about that, but I'm just hearing a lot of people and seeing a lot of people going, screw him. You know, he wants to do this. You know, he's not worth it. And that might simply be because of the approach, not just because you don't think he's actually worth $15 million. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go to Aiden in Orchard Park first up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Give me 1 second. Hold on. I am going to pull you up here, Aiden. I have to restart my computer. Why don't you do it for me, Josh, and I'll have him for you. There you go. Go ahead, Aiden.
Hey, Sal. I love James Cook. I think he's been great for the Bills, but just kind of looking at how the Bills are built with a great O-line and Josh Allen, seeing Saquon's deal too, I think I could kind of pass at $15 million a year. I think you can draft running backs like that too. Kind of just my thoughts. Love to hear you say thanks.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you on the money, right? Like, I'm not about paying James Cook $15 million a year. I think that's a lot of money. I think it's too much money for that position. The franchise tag this year, if you were to franchise tag a running back this year, it's going to be about $13 million. I mean, if you wait a year, that number is probably $15 million. So wait a year and do it. If he blows up again, if he has another amazing season, wait a year and do it. I don't see the rush. Let's go to Brian in Hawaii. Brian, what's up, man? Aloha.
Oh, hey, Sal. Aloha. Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's the way he went about doing it that I think is causing the public dissent. I think you were spot on. The combine, the agent, behind-the-scenes type thing. But I remember, I don't know if it was last year or earlier this year, where his brother got on and said, pay the man. And I think, I don't think Brandon Bean plays that public, go public with your grievances. I think right. That has a lot to do with it. But I agree with the previous caller. It's the offensive line. Give James Cook $15 million, but then he gives $1 million each to the offensive linemen. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot for giving a call very early over there in Hawaii. What are they, like 8 hours behind? 5. I think 5. It's like 5:30 in the morning over there. So thanks for excuse me, giving a call, Brian. Yeah, I agree with you. Brandon Bean does not, that's not how he likes to operate. I don't think, it'd be one thing. I'm going to say he's not happy about it, right? I don't want to speak for Brandon Bean, but I'm sure like he's seeing this going, okay, come on, like we can, I'd rather have this behind closed doors, because he says that to us all the time. He says, I don't negotiate through the media. Let's go to Harry in Canada. By the way, we're back on in Canada on the AM and PM shows if you watch through YouTube. This show is not on YouTube. People have asked me why. We just haven't done that yet through Odyssey. Maybe down the road we will, but if you're in Canada and you haven't been able to listen to us through the app, you can do it now on YouTube on the AM show and the PM show. Jeremy and Joe show up in the Bulldog, but Harry's in Canada and he wants to talk. What's up, buddy?
Hey, love you, Sal. Look, a couple things. First of all, I think James Cook's being... his brother has to do something with what's going on. Cause this kid has been overall very quiet. It doesn't speak a lot in the interviews, et cetera. So for him to start making his, I won't say demands, but his comments on social media, it's got to be coming from Dalvin, number one. Number two, I don't want my ticket prices. I mean, they're already going to be going up. So the more we negotiate and we know about it, it just makes us as season ticket holders get upset because our ticket costs are going to go up. So I don't like that. Is he worth 15? Probably not, but he's 12. Keep it out of social media. That's the part I don't like.
Yeah, I think that's it, Harry. That's what I think it is. I get this from a few people here. I want to read you a couple things here. This is Getting Connected with Our Fans, and it is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online, northtownkia.com. First one, this is from Mayor Jeff. Mayor Jeff, he actually sent me a DM and said, Jordan Poyer wiped his Bills photos before re-signing a year later. Thank you. But he also became a free agent. There's the difference, though, right? Like, Jordan Poyer was actually a free agent on the market. James Cook is a Bills player under contract for another year, but thank you. I appreciate that. Excuse me. Still trying to just kind of get over that last hurdle of as sick as I was last week, but we're doing pretty well. Nick says, Cook is going to have to decide what he wants more, a championship or the money. Why does he have to decide that? I'm not really sure. Do you mean he can't get paid and win a championship in Buffalo? They're still right there knocking on the door for a... Who has been overpaid when re-signing his own draft picks, asked Colton. I think people would say Dawson Knox has a contract that the Bills wouldn't have, is overpaid. Whether you agree or disagree, I think that's one. Who else? Who has he re-signed? Who has he overpaid to re-sign? I'll have to go through. I'm sure there might be one or two that you could come up with, you think about, but I think that has been, I think that's probably one of them. I don't know. What did Reggie Gilliam get a couple of years ago? He kind of re-signed. Tyler Bass re-signed a contract a couple of years ago that people think that is. So there's your answer, Colton. I mean, I could probably go through a couple, maybe others through the years, but I think people would give you those answers. Let's take a timeout here. I got a lot of people on hold. We're going to get to you in the next timeout, after the next timeout, because we don't have any guests coming up until 11 o'clock. And then when we do, all right, check this out. Pete Sweeney is going to join me. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs. Can we ask what it's like in Kansas City, life is like after losing the Super Bowl, and what the 2025 outlook holds, especially in the offseason, Travis Kelce and that. Pete Sweeney at 11 a.m., and then Joe Goodberry, who covers the Bengals at 11:30. They got another player who now wants out of Cincinnati and requested a trade. At least another player that in the AFC North who plays defense, like Myles Garrett, requesting a trade, but now going hand in hand with other players in Cincinnati who have contractual issues who may be on their way out. That's the best way I wanted to say it. We'll take a timeout here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.